John Armstrong, you're still a New Zealand loyal candidate for Botany. And you are, now let me think, are you a South African Kiwi or a Kiwi South African? How many years have you been here? And how do you describe yourself?
Morning, Liz. Thanks for having me on. I'd like to just clear that. I am a Kiwi with a South African accent.
I have
been here 20 years. Ironically, I'm actually flying back in a week and a bit to South Africa for the first time. So that's going to be a bit of an eye-opener. But yeah, New Zealand's my country. We've embraced it. I'm a citizen long time. You know,
I love it. I've loved working with you and your wonderful wife, Geraldine. You mean for the first time you're flying back to South Africa since the whole COVID response rollout? Is that what you mean?
No. Since actually immigrating here 20 years ago.
Goodness.
I've never been back. No. And, you know what it's like. You get stuck into your usual way of things. And, you know, as I say, I've become a New Zealander and, you know, I go on New Zealand type holidays, you know, local and that type of thing. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting to be back in the homeland after 20 years.
How have your family of origin done with the lockdown over there? Because we're going to discuss in this interview the Pfizer South African contract. But how have your family, before we begin on that, how have they done with the lockdown and the way it was rolled out over in South Africa?
Look, I think everybody will agree. Everything has been very similar and in lockstep to what we've experienced. I will say the South Africans did not go as hard out on mandating workers to get the jab. However, things were very similar. They also had their lockdowns. They had the same queues and, you know, distancing and mask wearing. Private medical aides in South Africa were the ones administering the COVID vaccine. The uptake wasn't as big as what we experienced here in New Zealand. Basically, because state health in South Africa is very, very lax and they have no funding. So basically, it was purely the people that's just, you know, listen to the propaganda on the TV consistently. Those were the ones that went out. Now, I've got family, my mum and dad both went and had theirs, my brother, my sister, and it was just all from the fear, the constant fear on the TV, that same as we experienced. Some of these people have now got injuries from it too. So similar story to New Zealand, but they were by no manner of means as extreme as we have been here in New Zealand.
Did they have a prime minister haranguing them every single day, berating them every day, lying to them every day in 1 o'clock meetings? It's safe. It's effective. You must get it. If you want to survive, if you want a haircut, go to the gym. If you want to live a life, you must get it. Did they have that in South Africa?
They had exactly that same, you know, the prime minister, the ministers of health, same thing. They also had the podium of truth at a particular time of the day that everybody watched. Yeah.
It was, for people who are not yet aware, it was the World Economic Forum, the UN, the World Health Organization. If we say health in this context, it's health in inverted commas because it's not health, but it was all lockstep around the world, and that's very sinister. So that's what we're going to talk about now, John. We are going to talk about your take after reading the Pfizer contract that has come out from South Africa. How did it even get out into the world? Are you aware of that story?
Yes, Liz, I can add a bit of context to that. An organization called the Freedom Alliance South Africa, FASA, they took a 786-page case to the court. It was an extremely strong case backed up with evidence from doctors and immunologists and virologists from all around the world, basically proving that this COVID-19 vaccine was a poison and people had a right to know what was in the contract. And so they took this to court. The court basically ruled that, yes, they were correct. The people had a right to know. One thing to note here, South Africa has an extremely strong constitution. and it was deemed to be in contravention of the Constitution. And hence the court released the documents. What's special about the South African contract is that it's not redacted by the signatures and the country's bank account number. That's the only redaction on the document. So basically, it's concise and complete. And for the record as well, I cross-referenced this with the Canadian and the Albanian contracts. Now, the Canadian one was heavily redacted. However, when I cross-reference and compare, they all read the same. So we can make an assumption based on that, that our New Zealand one, which many people have been calling for and hasn't been released, we can make the assumption that ours would read the same.
And we can extrapolate from even what we were talking about just now. Everything was in lockstep around the world. It was rolled out by the WHO, the WEF, and the UN in this bullying way, country by country, in the same way. So why would the contracts not be the same in each country? It is appalling, John, isn't it, that any government would think, I can sign up to a contract that is going to impact every single New Zealand life, and I don't even have to consult with the people. I don't have to tell them what is in the contract that I'm signing the people up for. Isn't it shocking that we even would have countenanced that in a democracy, a supposed democracy called New Zealand under Labour?
That's right, Liz. And as I go through this document, the viewers will hear how fraudulent the whole contract is. It basically also proves criminal intent from all of our authorities. And as I go through the document, this will become evident. One thing to note before we continue is the South Africans were very slow to the party in actually signing an agreement, and they were 6 months behind New Zealand. So, i.e., we signed our contract 6 months earlier than the South Africans. So also just to strengthen the fact that whatever is written in the South African contract, there would be nothing better in the New Zealand one.
And South Africa signed this, now what date was it? The 1st of April 2021.
Yes.
That was when it became part of the binding laws of South Africa.
That's
the UK
right.
Rolled out the jabs on the 8th of December 2020.
Yep.
And it was 4 months later that the South Africans signed it. We must also assume that the UK government would have known what is in this contract. Let's get into what is in this contract. Let's begin with the most shocking clause, and that's a big ask. We're going to attach the actual contract to this interview, but what's the most shocking of the clauses for you, John?
Well, the most shocking one that strikes me initially, and this would be for all people that are listening to this and watching this, it's not for the vaxxed or the unvaxxed or the awake or the woke. I mean, this is clear English, and I'll read this quickly. It's the purchaser acknowledgement. Now, the purchaser acknowledges that the vaccine and materials related to the vaccine and their components and constituent materials are being rapidly developed due to the emergency circumstances, okay? Then they go, this is the clincher here. The purchaser further acknowledges that the long-term effects and efficacy of the vaccine are not currently known. Now, the first question that comes to mind for me is, where did our government and our Ministry of Health and all these doctors, what information did they have to then say it was safe and effective when the contract itself says it's not known? This is criminal. This is criminal, and I challenge the government. Supply us documentation that at that given time you had something different that said safe and effective, which was your message. It's in the contract. It's not known. So this is an absolute damning section. This is section 5.5, purchaser acknowledgement.
It is absolutely damning. that alone, yes, we could begin and end this interview on. Absolutely damning. We were told every day it's safe. We were told every day it will stop the transmission. those who stood up and said, we don't want it, were told we were threatening everybody else by not taking it because this will stop the transmission. And yet in the contract that the government signed up to in South Africa, which will be the same, I would posit, as the one New Zealand signed up to, it says the total opposite. John, it's shocking.
Well, there's something that there's more. There's more because I've done my research to this. And at the same time, MedSafe in New Zealand had only had provisional consent. Now, at the time, I put in an Official Information Act request to MedSafe saying, well, under the conditions or the stipulations of the Medicines Act 1981, Section 23, where it states if you have provisional consent, something can only be administered in limited numbers. So that's a little in addition to this as well. So one, we knew it was not safe and effective because Pfizer said so themselves. Secondly, we only had provisional consent, so we should have been doing limited numbers to obviously then follow up and see what's effects and et cetera. But no, we were pushing for 90% vaccination rates in this country.
And both of those together, the contract itself, which the government kept secret, and MedSafe saying we'll only consent provisionally because otherwise this will fall back on us, put the spotlight right on Labor. They lied. They lied to us.
Absolutely, and that's exactly it. In a nutshell, they lied. They lied. And people have had harm and death from this, which is well documented. And still, we are hearing safe and effective. You go down to your local pharmacy and they're still dishing these things out. This needs to stop. And the average person out there needs to acknowledge that the contract from Pfizer says it's not known. A little while after the contract, for the record, a document called the Cumulative Analysis of Post-Authorization Adverse Events was released by Pfizer after litigation in the States, and it forced him to release this document. It showed 1,392 adverse events, and here's the clanger, which included COVID-19. The shot itself could give you COVID-19. They also had a table in there where it said their safety concerns were anaphylaxis and vax-associated enhanced disease, VAED. Then missing information. Now, bearing in mind, this is Pfizer's documents. Missing information, use in pregnancy and lactation. Were our mothers or expectant mothers in this country not asked, forced, and coerced to go and get a jab if they wanted to go to a hospital? Yes. Pfizer's own documents says this. This is not conspiracy, people. It's out there if we'd care to read it.
I had a young friend who had just had a baby when the rollouts came, when that ghastly marathon, that telethon came, and I begged her, please, you are breastfeeding. I can find no research and no evidence on the effects of this jab on lactation, on milking, on giving milk from the mother to the baby. Please, I beg you. Mm. And she said, but the government says it's fine. And she went ahead. We will not know until future years what the effect of this has been. But these, I know, beyond any reasonable doubt, this government has betrayed the old people. They said they were trying to save and protect. It's betrayed our young mothers. It's betrayed our youth. It's betrayed all New Zealanders with these lies. Now, we're going to add here underneath this interview Mark Sexton, who is a former police officer from the UK, an admirable ethical man, up there, I would say, with Dan Picknell, our New Zealand former police whistleblower. He has also done an analysis of it, and he talks about the crimes. He names, in his opinion, some of the crimes shown by this. I'll just read some of the list he names in the video that's underneath this. He says, come on, UK police, you should be putting in charges of gross negligent manslaughter, corporate manslaughter, genocide, treason, crimes against humanity, misconduct in public office by these politicians, misfeasance in public office. And that's only some, John. That's only some of the potential charges. But he goes on to say this. He says, it's the politicians, yes. But remember this, it's all the bureaucrats who okayed this. All the Ministry of Health bureaucrats who must now know. Many of whom may have seen this Pfizer contract and seen the lack of research. It implicates a lot of people exposing this South African contract. It doesn't it? It implicates a lot of people in so-called health.
Oh, absolutely. And I think just to also to make something clear to the viewers, when we talk government, we've got to understand that government is a conglomerate of corporations. So you'll have your parliament that's registered as a corporation. You've got your police as a corporation. Ministry of Health as another corporation. We need to hold all these CEOs and COOs' feet to the fire. Because exactly as Mark Sexton has said, his criminal intent, malfeasance, fraud, it's extraordinary. I couldn't, you'd probably draw up a list pages long of charges that should be laid, but they need to be laid because the contract proves that. And I've had a few people say to me, what's the importance of the contract, John? Why are you always on about the contract? And the way I view it, it's like a fucking example. If you at work, you have a problem with your employment. The first thing you have to put on the table is your employment contract. And then alongside that, you would use Work Health and Safety Act, Employment Relation Act, Holidays Act, et cetera, to deal with your case. But your contract would form the basis of the discussion and going forward. So we really need to lay our hands on our contract. But for now, already from what I've seen, I know what's going to be in that contract, exactly what I've witnessed and read here. And we need to hold all these people accountable. We don't need inquiries. We need criminal investigation.
Exactly. That is what we called for all through the election campaign. We need criminal investigations, not a whitewash inquiry pretending. Yes. Actually, there's a huge discussion beyond that, John, which I think we'll have in future months with our loyal crew and with the public about how many of the public don't realize the police are a corporation. Mm. The government is a corporation. Thank you for dropping that in. It's a teaser for a future discussion that we'll do more broadly. Let's get back to the contract. So you have outlined that crucial section, which people can look up themselves, section 5.5,
yep,
where they clearly state that they just did not know there are many adverse effects that are not currently known. I think those words are in there.
Yep.
Other sections, let's go on. I've mentioned on page 36, we see the witness in the South African contract in witness whereof have caused this agreement to be duly executed. So that was executed on the 1st of April, 2021 in South Africa. Do we know the exact date the New Zealand government signed this?
We don't know the exact date, but cabinet papers that I have in my possession where they issued the indemnities that Pfizer required was dated 12 October 2020. So I'm assuming it's around October 2020 sometime. The date of the 12th might shift a week or two prior or past, but yeah, in that region. There is so much, you know, Liz, there's another section I want to raise as well, which I see as so unlawful. They talk of the section 5.4 is no other warranty. Now, they basically go about and say, except to this extent, as set out expressly in this agreement, all conditions, warranties, blah, 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 and they carry on about overriding all statutes, common laws, or otherwise for our product, and they've got you. We don't warranty it for being fit for any particular purpose.
Oh.
So we have Pfizer, who is selling us something that's supposedly safe and effective for COVID-19, but they are expressly telling us that they offer no warranty that it's fit for a particular purpose. This contract has been written with so much information really to us. I mean, that just tells you. I mean, it's like buying a car and they tell you, well, we're not going to tell you it's fit for any purpose. Hello, would you buy that car? I wouldn't.
I was just going to use that metaphor. It would be like you walk up to a car yard and all four wheels are off the car. There's a metaphor there. The wheels are falling off for Pfizer. And the salesman says, yeah, you can take the car, but there's no warranty that you can drive it out of here. We would laugh at that kind of contract. We'd go, get off the grass, mate. In here, people are going, oh, well, that's what the government signed us up to. And we have to stop and go, how dare you? How dare you do this to us?
Yeah, absolutely, Liz. Wow, I know it blows your mind, but there's a few more sections that I need to cover off, yeah?
I want to talk about that indemnity, John, if we can, because you said before we came to air, 95% of this contract is all about protecting Pfizer. Is that really what how you'd sum it up?
Absolutely. And in the beginning of the contract, they start off at section 1.33, and they define, this is the definitions section, and they define law/laws. It says laws mean collectively all applicable national and local laws, common laws, statutes, ordinances, codes, rules, regulations, orders, decrees, or other pronunciation of government, administrative, or judicial authority having the effect of law. Now, this is important because they've just basically covered every law and legislation in the respective country, in this case being New Zealand, that we're talking about, right? So, which would mean that they've indemnified themselves against all these laws. But it goes further than that. They've got sections in here of privileges and immunities, also a section in here where they say that if you want to litigate them, that's fine. You will pay for it. It will be in New York only, and they will choose the defense. So you will hold them immune from vaccine harm, death. It's all in this contract. They've indemnified. We cannot sue Pfizer for this contract. If we do, the people pay. We will pay.
Just to explain that a little bit more clearly. So indemnity is where they are protected, as you say, from us going after them and suing them. So if we have a look, I looked on page 23, there's clause 8.1, a total indemnity. Clause 9.1, no third party claims shall be made.
That's right.
So their lawyers, their ghastly Pfizer lawyers have protected this corporate from any way that we, the people of New Zealand, or our government can go back after them.
That's right.
But what were you saying before, that in a court in New York, they can choose their defense? Explain that a bit more.
Well, basically, it says here that they can choose their defense. You're going to pay for all costs. You want to litigate them, you're going to be paying for all the costs. And on top of that, they'll still choose who they want to use, what lawyers they want to use, and it will be set in the state of New York. And they've already covered the fact that they're not listening to any of your laws, your local laws, our local laws, legislation does not apply.
You outlined local laws was in the definition section, but are you talking about, they've said we don't allow any of your laws to be relevant to us. Is that section 8, clause 8.1? Is that what you're looking at?
Well, basically 8.1, yeah. It basically says here, purchaser hereby agrees to indemnify, defend and hold harmless Pfizer, BioNTech and all the affiliates, contractors, subcontractors they carry on, past, present, in the future, and owe an indemnity based on research. It carries on. It's a long thing to read, but in a nutshell, they have indemnified themselves, as I say, for past, present, and future. And the country that signed this contract shall cover the costs.
For me, reading it through, I wanted you to go into that for people to get that feeling of the one-sidedness of it, John. But for me, reading through, that's the prevailing feeling. This is such a one-sided contract. In our private lives, we wouldn't sign such a one-sided contract. It favors Pfizer all the way.
Correct.
It does feel like it is beyond attack a little bit, unless, what do you think, John, if we could put an argument that it's an illegal contract, fundamentally, because our government never ran it past the people. So we, the people, did not agree to it. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think there is a few holes in the contract, because the way they've been trying to sell us something, but they haven't had anything on papers giving us any confidence of selling us something that would work. Firstly, I don't know, the whole indemnity thing, I mean, it just shows the intent, right? They were selling, I don't call this a vaccine, I call it a bioweapon, but that's a discussion for another time. But they pushed all governments, and including ours, you know, Grant Robertson signed a statement of immunity under the Public Finance Act for $10 million, because this was part of the requirement of the contract, that we had to give them immunity. So we gave them immunity and money in an immunity fund or an indemnity fund. We then also shifted, according to the cabinet papers I've got, we shifted the responsibility onto ACC. ACC was now going to cover any vaccine harm, and Bell Gully, who was involved with this, Bell Gully, the largest legal law firm here in New Zealand, they said this was low risk to the Crown. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. You know, the more you read into it, look, it's a 46-page contract, and I mean, we could talk for days, but this was the biggest thing. The next biggest thing I want to actually bring up quickly, before I forget, is the waiver of sovereign immunity. Now, that was our section 9.4. Now, this is a very interesting one, and I believe this amounts to treason. That would be another charge we could lay against them. It's treason. It basically says, waiver of sovereign immunity. Purchaser, on behalf of itself and the Republic of South Africa in this case, expressly and irrevocably waive any right of immunity which either it or its assets may have or acquire in the future, including any assets by any agency, central bank or monetary authority. We have signed over our immunity. And once again, if we go after Pfizer and we say we want to sue them for $10 billion or whatever, yeah, well, that's fine. It's just going to come right back at us. So I believe I wouldn't say the hole in the contract, but we've got to look in a different angle. There's already evidence out there that some vials that have been tested globally all around the world at laboratories have found foreign material in the vials. We found the SV40 protein, which is cancer-causing, in the vials. And the biggest one is DNA. Now, according to international law, current international law, that is a no-no. That is illegal. That's not allowed, because it's going to alter people's DNA. So I would say we leave the contract alone. I think the contract shows a lot to us, enough so that we need to hold our authorities feet over the fire. So, i.e. Parliament, the police. And by the way, for the record, the police have been served many times in this country. I know. I've done it 3 or 4 times.
Explain that, John. Been served? What do you mean?
Well, look, a while ago when this whole COVID thing came up and, you know, and lockdowns and whatever, you know, there were documents that were served on the police by various people, showing evidence that there's a crime taking place and, you know, the police need to intervene. And, of course, we all know this has all been ignored. You know, you've been fobbed off and, oh, yeah, thanks, they take the papers. Nothing's ever happened. Nothing's ever been done. But they can only ignore us so long.
And, John, the significance of all of that is when this crime becomes so clear to the majority of New Zealanders and people demand justice, this will happen. The crumbling is already underway of the lies. and the governments that supported them. When that happens, the police at that point will not be able to say to the people, we didn't know, because everyone who's served papers on the police will step forward and say, yes, you did know. You were given notice. So my point is to the New Zealand police, just as Mark Sexton in the interview, you'll see below this interview, in the piece to camera, he says to the UK police, come on, step up. I say to the New Zealand police, if you step up now and do the right thing and call these criminals to account, and that means in the government and in the Ministry of Health under Margie Appa, call them to account. You must answer to the people for your crimes. Then the police will be stepping on the right side of history.
100%, Liz. I could not have said that better. It's 100% up to our authorities. And I'd go further in saying it's not just our police. I do believe our military needs to step in here too.
Yes.
Because this has been a genocidal crime. And I do believe we need military tribunals. The police have been showing themselves to be very lackluster and to almost be in lockstep with the narrative that's been handed down to them. Either way, we've got to hold all these authorities to account, and that would start with a prime minister, past and present. It's got to be the health ministers, past and present. We've got to hold everybody to account, MedSafe, anybody that was involved, Treasury for spending our money, Treasury for signing an indemnity without our permission.
The government knew, and the government's lawyers would have known, looking at the contract.
Yes.
Was that Bill Gully who cleared this contract? They would about Clause 5.5.
That was Bill Gully, and Bill Gully's words were in the cabinet papers that they've assessed all the risks, and with the two factors in place, Grant Robertson's indemnity offered and ACC being in place, that it was a low risk to the Crown.
It's appalling, you know, John, when I was interviewing all those jab-injured people in the early days, and one after the other, from Casey Hodgkinson on, that beautiful 23-year-old, none of them could get help from ACC. Casey was turned down time and time and time again. Her wheelchair that she had paid for cheaply fell apart. Free NZ Media had to buy her, raise money for a new wheelchair. ACC did nothing. The cynicism of all of this is sickening. However, we are seeing that they cannot hold this edifice of lies up much longer. It's really crumbling around the world. Let's keep going back to the contract. What else about it? So last you were talking about Section 9.4, a waiver of sovereign immunity. To me, that is very chilling, because the World Health Organization would like to take over the health protocols of every country that signs up to its horrific pandemic treaty, plandemic treaty. And I believe in December, New Zealand was signed up to that. Some people are pretending that it's still able to be modified, but I think we have been signed up to that. It's unclear yet. It will become clear. At the point where the WHO tries to take over our health in New Zealand, we must, as a people, rise up en masse and say, no way. No way to Christopher Luxon. You are not to hand over our national health policies to the corrupt World Health Organization under Gates. Do you agree with that, John?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. And I'd even go as far to say that the World Health Organization has probably had immunity for a long time prior to what we even think it's had it. Because right through this, let's be honest, they snapped their fingers and the world jumped. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of times, you know, they even have the laws in place that, you know, they can snap their fingers for theoretical viruses that are not even in the domain yet. So I believe, and I mean, this, there are some documents that we can see, but nothing is 100% clear. But there's definitely been the involvement by the World Health Organization, and it's not good. If we've got no sovereignty to decide what we do on our shores, I have a problem with that. And the minute unelected foreign people are controlling my country, I have a problem with that. I see that as an act of war, if anything else. It's treason.
I'm with you all the way. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, which dictates policy to this current government and dictated to Labour, then he's never voted in by anybody. Right. Nobody around the world has nominated him to be a leader. If he or Bill Gates stood as world leaders, I think the world would turn their backs on them profoundly and say, get lost. So yeah. These are unelected leaders taking over our rights. That's what our sovereign rights are, our rights as a people. Yeah, what else is there in this contract, John, that sends chills down your spine?
Oh, gosh, there's so much. As I say, even there's sections here. It's all in the wording, you know, the privileges and immunities. As I say, 95% of this document is immunities, and you just keep reading how they've indemnified themselves against no-fault vaccines, pandemic insurance programs, immunities from suits and liabilities, protections, defenses, limitations of liabilities. It carries on and on and on. My biggest take out of this is, how did we sign this contract? Would I sign a contract like this and then take my family down the road and put this stuff in their arm after knowing this, after knowing that there is nothing in this document that says it's safe, there's no warranty, no guarantee, and then, of course, there's all this indemnities, which potentially could put our nation at risk, because even when we talk of ACC, who is ACC? It is us. It's the taxpayer. We're going to be paying for this for a long time coming.
Unless we could call this an illegal contract that was signed by an illegal government that was not representing the people. And if we could somehow argue that in an international court of law, take them and be able to sue Pfizer. You know, it was under Reagan, John, that indemnity, safety for vaccine manufacturers was put out into the world. All those years ago in the 1980s, there was this decision to say our vaccines are so important, and we must remember there's a huge pro-vaccine lobby in Washington. Our vaccines are so important that vaccine manufacturers must never be held accountable if they put out a poisonous, a wrongfully produced, a wrongfully manufactured, a faulty vaccine. That makes no sense at all. Vaccine manufacturers must, after this nightmare, be held fully accountable for their products. And I believe very quickly they'd be sued into oblivion. I doubt there'll be many wise humans who want any vaccines in their blood systems after this.
Well, I can agree with that too, because, you know, I hate that term anti-vaxxer. I mean,
yes.
Up until 3 years ago, I could honestly stand and say, well, I've had all my vaccines. I had all my children vaccines and etc. I never gave it a thought. I never thought that the governments or pharmaceutical companies would give me anything that would harm me. And I'm glad that at the time when this rolled out, I don't know, there were just too many questions unanswered. And I am that type of guy. I want information. And I'm awfully surprised how the mass psychosis worked in this country, that people were just totally brainwashed and walked into these jab centers en masse to get something that they had no information on. And, you know, then it goes further, the doctors and the nurses as well that administered this, what happened to first do no harm, and a duty of care. So, yeah, look, these pharmaceutical companies have got a lot to answer for. They are so powerful now. They are some of the strongest corporations now in the world are the pharmaceuticals. And they are all tied up with government, which probably also leads us to, I know there's a few people out there that have been looking at Vincent Jacinda Ardern's wealth, how it grew during the COVID-19 period, where she went from an estimated wealth base of $1 million to $25 million in a matter of months. There's going to be questions that need to be answered here. They must have been taking handouts. I don't see how anybody signed this contract. There must have been some serious money-changing hands for people to willingly do this. And I believe we need to push for our contract. We need to push for our contract so we can set it in stone. And I think this is where the whole house of cards will come falling down. The contract will form the basis, and we need to take on Pfizer at multiple angles. And all our government departments, they need to be accountable. They can't wriggle out of this. How can you? You signed a contract that's clear and everybody can see it. And crime of the century, indeed.
When you that's beautifully articulated. When you combine this contract from South Africa, extrapolated out as being the New Zealand contract, see that they did not know what they were doing, essentially. Combine all of that with Barry Young's Ministry of Health data that the Ministry of Health is simply denying. I mean, even I had a letter from them the other day, cynical Ministry of Health, saying, oh, we're so worried about your privacy, but we can assure you there are no privacy breaches from this naughty man who revealed the Ministry of Health data. I wanted to write back, Ministry of Health, you did not give a damn about my privacy when you were bullying me to have your jab. Everywhere I went, if I wanted to be part of society, I had to reveal my private medical history because of your philosophy that followed the government's philosophy. So don't you write your hypocritical letter caring about privacy. You give us, the New Zealand people, the Barry Young data. You open it up and you give us the contract. When you have those two things happening, John, all of this falls. The New Zealand people will wake up fully when that is open and transparent.
100%. You know, Barry Young's data. Yeah, everybody talk of Barry Young's data. But that is the people's data.
It is.
That data belongs to us. And the fact that it's been anonymized, or it's, you know, no personal details have ever been leaked. You know, they're just gaslighting us.
They are.
We have a right to have that data released officially and analyzed by whoever we deem fit to get to the bottom of this. I mean, Barry Young has done a great job, and he's put himself in the way of harm from these guys, you know, with their threats and potential jail time, etc. For what? For letting the people know about their own data?
Well, for exposing a crime, and this Pfizer contract that we're talking about from South Africa also exposes criminality.
That's right.
I will say a caveat on the money that could have changed hands. That is supposition at this stage. We don't have concrete evidence. However, I will add this. I have had four people who've come to me and told me of recent property purchases by the Ardernes, by Jacinda, one in the name of her parents, a big farm, one up at Matakana, a potential one down in Hawke's Bay. Now, I'm still trying to get to the bottom of that, but where would somebody who's been on a prime minister's salary in New Zealand get multi millions for property dealing? That is a valid question. We're not saying we know the answer, but we are putting that out there to the New Zealand people. That's a question to ask. And I hear when she was up in Matakana, she was booed out by the locals. The local who wrote to me said she will not be welcomed up here. So many Kiwis know this is someone who has harmed us, purposefully harmed us, and has committed, I agree with you, John, treason on the people of New Zealand. What would you advise people who want to educate themselves to do with this South African contract? Do what you've done, read it in detail, plow through it?
Yeah, look, you know, it seems to be a problem of late. I don't know if people don't want to read, because this has been out since September last year, and, you know, I haven't seen too much chatter about it. But yes, go out there, go read it. It's all available online. You don't have to go to the dark web to get it. A simple search in Google and you've got it. You can even go view the 786-page court documents that were filed that led to its release. And, you know, there's so much information. We all need to empower ourselves. You know, if you want to know something, go out, find the information. You know, you don't have to go into dark chat rooms to get information. Get the official stuff. And if I could just suggest to people as well, let's stop being lazy as well. And I don't mean any disrespect to any viewers, but I hear it all the time. Oh, you should, or we should. No, it's not about me or we. It's about you. You know, you also need to do something. And go out, put out information, Official Information Act requests. Ask for the contract. You can write a request to the Ministry of Health, two minutes. And yes, even if they come back and refuse you, like they've done myself and others, it's there for the record, for later on. We have asked. And the more and more public interest we can get into this, the easier the task will be in actually ascertaining these documents. We need to put the pressure on.
Beautifully said again. I am so proud to work with you, John. I am so proud to work alongside you. I really am such a passion for caring for New Zealand, the New Zealand we all want, a decent, ethical, moral society, a brave one, a truth-telling one. Thank you for what you've done here. A final question: in South Africa, has this made a big impact, this contract? And we will put the contract underneath this interview. If you can send me the court documents, I will put that underneath. But what sort of impact in South Africa itself has the publication of the Pfizer contract had?
Well, instantly, almost instantly, people seen the contract released and they went, oh gosh, this is good. It's our contract, not another country's contract. So that people actually started reading it. And of course, there were people that would take, you know, some snippets out of it and put that online and whatever. And instantly, the desire from people to go out and get the jab dropped right off, because people had seen the truth. People had also seen the amount of money that was spent. You know, in South Africa's case, it was $200 million.
Good Lord.
That's a lot of money. You know, and South Africa has its own problems like many, you know, countries are, you know, always in debt and struggling. This is money that was a waste, could have been spent on better things. So people seen it and reacted, and they reacted by saying, hey, man, I don't want this stuff. I'm not happy. Yeah. So I believe there are some other potential lawsuits. Coming up against Pfizer from the South Africans, from the doctors and you know, similar organizations to our, like our NZD SOS. They got similar organizations over there. So, there'll be a lot of litigation coming.
And that is the best note to end on. We need litigants now to step forward. If you are a doctor or a nurse and you read this South African contract and you yourself feel you've been duped, start to get your colleagues around you. Start to get groups of you together to sue the government who tricked you and Pfizer. Let's really start to bring this edifice down. Thank you, John. John Armstrong, always a delight to talk with you.
Well, thank you, Liz. Thanks for having me on board. And yeah, look, it's a pleasure. To be honest, this has been a burning thing for me for a while. And I just want to get this out here. And as I said earlier, it's not for the vaxxers and the anti-vaxxers and the awake and the woke. This is for everybody. This is applicable to every living man and woman in this country.
Beautifully said.